Welcome, everyone. As I mentioned before, there's something that I'm extraordinarily passionate about and also is my very special guest today, National Commander of the American Legion, Charles Schmidt, joining me here today. You know, here we are. We're looking at the many, many people, not just in this country, but my family, your family, who have served. And the question really becomes, what are we doing to make sure that we don't forget the treatment of our veterans and their families, and what we can do to make this a priority to make America greater. Joining me here today is not just someone that's been passionate about this, but someone that clearly understands the nuances of what it means to be a veteran, but also what is absolutely important in discovering the issues that we face today. You know, Commander Schmidt, thank you for joining me here today. Now, listen, this is not just an important conversation, but we are concerned that the people that have served will be critically forgotten. And I wanted to thank you for what you're doing and give us a backdrop on why this is important here in this 100th anniversary of our entry into World War One.
Well, Dr. Pat, it's extremely important to remember those who have served this country to preserve the freedoms and the democracy which has become a way of life for every one of us in this great United States of America. You know, it's the American Legion family. And when I talk about American Legion family, I'm talking about the Legionnaires themselves, the American Legion Auxiliary, the largest women's patriotic organization in the world. I'm also talking about the sons of the American Legion who are not veterans. Well, some of them may have served, but it's a male descendant of a veteran who wants to honor veterans and also honor the service of a mother and or father or grandparents in that case. But, you know, it was the Doughboys that fought that first war overseas, World War One. And as a result of them, when they got ready to come home, there was no VA system at that time. And the concern of the leaders of the American Expeditionary Forces under Black Jack Pershing, leaders such as Teddy Roosevelt Jr. and Hamilton Fish out of New York, who later became a congressman himself. There was even an Oregonian from Lieutenant Colonel George D. White. They were all concerned about who's going to take care of the boys, their buddies, those doughboys, when they got home. And of course, that evolved of the caucus in May 15th, 1919, of discussing those issues, and thus the American Legion was born to not only take care of those boys, and now it's men and women that have served and are serving, but to remember their services and honor their services. And thus, over the years, and on 98 years, our American Legion has been caring about veterans, honoring veterans, and to make sure that a grateful nation does not forget those who have served and are serving. And unfortunately, I think we'll probably still have many serving in the future based on what's going around on our globe. But it's our mission of the American Legion to still serve veterans and still serving of America. And that is through our advocacy programs, such as the healthcare system and those other benefits that the VA provides, education and career opportunities, career fairs. And, of course, we have great American Legion programs, as well as the Auxiliary does, to help youth, give youth an opportunity, but also to teach them patriotism, maybe of giving back and serving our country, because in the future they're going to be the ones that are running this country. So we want to leave our country in the best hands that we can possible, because every veteran has invested in America through their service through the military, and we want to leave America in good hands. And of course, the bond that we established with one another over the years still is there. And we want to make sure that our buddies are taken care of.
Yeah, and you know, there's nothing quite like it because, you know, having experience with growing up in a family where, you know, my relatives have served and hearing what some of the struggles are, some of the challenges are, and thinking that perhaps a little naively on our part that, you know, yes, they went to war, yes, they served, yes, this is what happened, and they will be cared for. But there is very little that the public at large really does know about the challenges and the struggles today. And I wonder if you would touch upon them.
Well, yes, there's a lot of things that the general public don't know, you know, about just about the service and sacrifices of
Yeah.
a veteran or even those that are serving today. You know, way the current conflicts are going, it's a lot of the guard and reserve are serving in those capacities, carrying the majority of the load. And as a result of those that, you know, they're citizens, but then when their country calls, they go and they leave their job, they leave their family. And of course, those deployments, as we call them now, are long, and some of them are even extended. And that has an impact back home, particularly on families, on children, and so forth. And then, of course, they need to worry about, in some cases, when they come back home, if their job is still there, and what has been the effects of the absence of that veteran on the family, and so forth. And of course, it's just those many concerns, and not to mention those that have been in combat, the effects, the impact, in some cases, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, or TBI, traumatic brain injury, which have pretty much become the signature wounds of the Iraq-Afghanistan conflict. You know, how are they going to be treated? How are they going to be cared for? And I think, unlike the Vietnam veterans when they all came home, you know, how are they going to be accepted when they come back home? And I think America's done a very good job since Vietnam. We've learned some lessons from Vietnam of showing our appreciation to those men and women that come back and have, again, represented us, particularly in this global war on terror.
You know, I wanted to ask you the question and really get down into the weeds a little bit. You know, I've heard stories from my own relatives, and, you know, these are still true. I mean, just to have, you know, our veterans been waiting to have their disability claims adjudicated, you know, to really get the treatment. I think we're, you know, we're talking about clearly that there is some struggle for them in even declaring that they have a post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, to actually admit that they have that is one part of the situation. But then if there is a healthcare system that they need to use, that process in itself really needs to be looked at and revamped because, you know, to wait, you know, 3, 4, 5 years to have some disability claim recognized, that is just not acceptable.
And that's so true. That is unacceptable. And you know, first of all, that's why the American Legion continues to do what we do, and hopefully every veteran will kind of understand, have an understanding, even if they're not a member of the American Legion, of what we do. We advocate for veterans every day on Capitol Hill. That's, you know, one of our primary concerns, is to make sure that that healthcare system that the American Legion helped start back in the 1920s is sustainable not only then but today, to take care of those, as Abraham Lincoln said, as the born to battle. And of course, it's the healthcare system, in addition to education and employment, those claims and those appeals. And yes, there are appeals that are backlogged, and I must say, appeals requires greater scrutiny because it's like a second look on a claim that may have not been had a outcome that the veteran would want. But the American Legion is on top of that. We have, even last year, one of our legislative priorities was to solve that appeals backlog. And thus, the American Legion advocated appeals modernization bill, which the VA took our suggestion, and they got several of the veteran service organizations to sit down and said, let's put our heads together and see if we can resolve this, see if we can trim down that time, but yet give the veteran full justice. And they did. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, they came up with a system that everybody agreed upon. How novel is that?
And then yeah, I think it's incredible. I think we could learn something. You know, I think our lawmakers could learn something from you all.
Well, you learn to learn. You go to the people who are going through those processes, experiences, those difficulties, and that's what you attack. That's what you go to solve, to cure. But as a result of what happened in October of this past year, the House of Representatives passed that, and of course we were highly anticipating that the Senate would get this approved before the 114th Congress ended. But unfortunately, America was focused early November, if not even before, on the national elections. And, of course, Congress went into recess, and the Senate didn't get a chance to address that. So along comes the 115th Congress now. And so that appeals modernization bill has to start over again. When I testified before the House and Senate Veterans Affairs Committee on March 1st, I told them 34 congressional lawmakers on that panel, the appeals modernization bill has to be passed and passed soon because, as you said, and I said, that is unacceptable. Those appeals, if it's nothing is done, those appeals, unfortunately, will outlive many of those veterans.
Yeah.
And many of those veterans are waiting to hear because it's probably very much so a quality of life issue they are waiting on.
Yeah, it actually, I have to tell you, Commander, it actually makes no sense, no matter what kind of piece of paper you pull out and try to rationalize this and the lack of attention that this getting, it just absolutely makes no sense. And so for those of us that get to talk with you, we want to thank you for your effort. How can people find out more about this? How can they get involved and support it?
Well, first of all, we have a great webpage, www.legion.org. There you can learn about so much about the American Legion, about our youth programs that gives those youth an opportunity. You can learn about our legislative priorities that we advocate not only on behalf of Legionnaires but for all veterans that we continue to advocate. You can even sign up online and learn about the membership criteria to be eligible for a membership in the American Legion. You can even find where the nearest American Legion post is in your town or in your state. The best thing that the citizen can do, regardless if they're a Legionnaire or not, is contact their congressional representatives and share your concerns, share your interests of those issues that are affecting the men and women that have served and are serving this country. Sometimes the grassroots can be heard, and we need to be heard.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I know that this is a short segment we have, and I just want to ask you one last question. What's your personal message? What do you want to say to the thousands of people listening to this show today?
Well, first of all, I'm honored to be a National Commander of the American Legion, but more important, it's about the men and women that the American Legion advocates for, the men and women that have been called to action, have gone to action on our behalf to represent our country in places around the world. And as a grateful nation, we should never forget their service and of course, their sacrifice. And we're going to be in Normandy on June 6th this year to remember those sacrifices that took places on those beautiful beaches and remember those that lie there in those beautiful cemeteries, which is a stark reminder of the sacrifices that have taken place so we can maintain our way of life, our freedom, and our democracies that we have in our country. And we should never forget those services and those sacrifices. And if nothing else, as a grateful nation, we need to honor those and remember those and take care of those that are still with us.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining me here today, Commander Schmidt. Thank you for all that you do. And we will make sure we pass the message on.
Well, we certainly appreciate it. And it's an honor to have a conversation with you this morning. And thank you for what you do and keeping attention on America's heroes.
Yep, we're on it. We're on it. Let's take a short break, everyone. We'll be right back. Thank you so much, Commander. This is a very, very big conversation. And, you know, it is a lot worse than you and I were able to touch upon today, including the homelessness aspect of this. So thank you so much.
Yes.
Keep up the good fight.
And we are. And that's, you know, we inherited a great legacy starting from 1919, and we're going to carry it forward.
Yep. Awesome. All right. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
All righty. Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye.